Bibles, turn with me to the book of 2 Kings in the Old Testament, chapter 6. 2 Kings, chapter 6. This is a familiar passage. Very neat little story about the prophet Elisha. 2 Kings chapter 6, we're going to begin reading at verse 1. Let's pray. Father, thank you today for your word. Thank you for your Holy Spirit. He is the down payment, the earnest, the promise of God to the believer. And we receive that promise today in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. 1 Kings chapter 6, the sons of the prophets said to Elisha, "See now, the place where we dwell is with you is too small for us. Please let us go to the Jordan and let every man take a beam from there and let us make there a place where we may dwell." And so he said, "Go." And then one said, "Please consent to go with your servants." And he answered, "I will go." I mean, if you're going to go do a job, take the man of God with you. Amen. Because you never know what might happen. You might lose your axe head. Right? So he went with them, and when they came to the Jordan, they cut down trees, but as one was cutting down a tree, the iron axe head fell into the water, and he cried out and said, "Alas, master, for it was borrowed." And so the man of God said, "Where did it fall?" And he showed him the place, and so he cut off a stick, and he threw it there, and he made the iron float. And therefore he said, "Pick it up for yourself." So he reached out his hand and he took it. Now, axe heads don't float. They're heavier than water. What inspired Elisha to cut down a little stick and throw it there? The Holy Spirit. Amen. A spirit-led life is one of unpredictability. They said that Smith Wigglesworth was probably the most unorthodox man of God that people had ever known. He would do very strange things, like one fellow had stomach cancer. He doubled up his fist and just punched the guy in the stomach as hard as he could and said, "Be healed in Jesus' name." A couple hours later, the guy spit up the cancer and it was done. So we rely on the Holy Spirit. He has every answer, and he tells us what to do. Verse 6. Now the king of Syria was making war against Israel, and he consulted with his servants, saying, "My camp will be in such and such a place." And the man of God sent to the king of Israel, saying, "Beware that you do not pass this place, for the Syrians are coming down there." And then the king of Israel sent someone to the place which the man of God had told him. Thus he warned him, and he was watchful there, not just once or twice. Therefore, the heart of the king of Syria was greatly troubled by this thing, and he called his servants, and he said to them, "Will you not show me which of us is for the king of Israel?" And one of the servants said, "None, my lord, O king, but Elisha, the prophet who is in Israel, tells the king of Israel the words that you speak in your bedroom." Now, this is an amazing event. Wouldn't you like to be able to do that? Have that kind of knowledge? The Holy Spirit knows everything. We do not need to have super powerful knowledge. We need to have the Holy Spirit operating in our lives. We read in the New Testament about the gifts of the Spirit. Words of knowledge is one of those gifts. This is what is going on here. Elisha had the gift of the word of knowledge, and he would know by the power of the Holy Spirit where the Syrian army was going to be. And so when the king of Syria heard this, he said, "Go and see where he is, that I may send and get him." Now, if you start being used by God with the power of the Holy Spirit in your life, the enemy's going to want to take you out. He's not afraid of our spiritless religion, our spiritless Bible reading, our spiritless prayer. But when the power of the Holy Spirit begins to operate in our lives, that's when things begin to happen. And it was told him, saying, surely is in Dothan. And so, therefore, he sent horses and chariots and a great army there. Notice, the enemy is sending a great army for one spirit-filled man. Wow. You know, D.L. Moody, we have his poster out here in the fellowship hall, and the statement he made was, the world has never seen what God can do through one man totally committed to him. One spirit-filled man and one army. Think about it. And so he sent horses and chariots and a great army there, and they came by night and they surrounded the city. But when the servant of the man of God arose and he went out, there was an army surrounding the city with horses and chariots. And his servant said to him, alas, my master, what shall we do? Now, if you look at your circumstances through natural eyes, you will probably at times say what Elisha's servant said, what in the world am I going to do? You might even go to a people and ask for advice. I don't know what to do. I'm in a pickle. I have a problem. My enemies are all around me and I feel helpless. But Elisha told his servant, do not fear. Here's one of those fear nots. Do not fear, for those that are with us are more than those that are with them. Aren't you glad? You know, you say, well, you don't know what the devil's doing to me. Well, you know, I know how many angels were cast out of heaven, only one third. That leaves two thirds on my side. All night, all day, angels watching over me, my Lord. Amen. Those that are with us are more than those that are with them. And Elisha prayed and he said, Lord, I pray, open his eyes that he may see. Now, as Lloyd pointed out, we do see a little bit of a theme going on here from Sunday school, don't we? We talked about the people who though they refused to honor God, he turned them over a reprobate mind. We talked about people who could see but not see. And I think every one of us have at one time or another have seen but not seen. And we need the Lord to open our eyes that we can truly see. You know, it's really interesting to me how at various stages in my life I may be trucking along, and all of a sudden, and I know it's the Holy Spirit, I have a thought that I never had before. That's really seeing something that you could never see before. You know, you can call it a thought, a revelation. Sometimes you might say, Lord, this happened to me this week. Now, I get off work at 4:30. Carolyn gets off at 5. Now, personally, when I pray, I pray out loud. When I certain kinds of prayers, if I can go to a prayer closet, virtually speaking, that's a place where I know nobody can hear me. You know, it's not that I'm ashamed of my prayers. It's just that that's why Jesus said prayer closet. There's something about just knowing that you can just shout or cry or laugh or dance and not be worried about what people are hearing or thinking or feeling awkward. And just about a week ago, I said to the Lord, Lord, if I was still living in Tahlequah, when I got off work, I could go over to the church and pray and just really be locked in with God, you know. And I got home one day this week, and the Holy Spirit said, Carolyn's not going to be home till 5:20. Why can't you pray here? Now, I've been able to do that all along. But, you know, it's one of those, bam, Holy Spirit moments. Why hadn't I been doing this all along? I've got the house to myself, other than two dogs looking at me like this. I can walk around the living room and pray and shout and lift my hands. And what a glorious time. And this morning I was like, I can't wait till work Monday because I know what's coming afterwards. And you know, yes, I would go in my room. It's not like I didn't have a prayer life. I'd go in there and pray. But wow, I just love that, having the house to yourself or having a place where you can just pray and not worry about what people are hearing or thinking. And that was the Holy Spirit. That was the Holy Spirit that opened my eyes to a revelation that I could always do but wasn't doing. We need more of that in our lives, amen? We need more of those moments where the Holy Spirit says, hey, tap, 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 what about? Praise the Lord. And so Elisha said, Lord, open his eyes that he may see. And then the Lord opened his eyes and the young man, and he saw, and behold, the mountain were full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. And so when the Syrians came down to him, Elisha prayed to the Lord, and he said, strike the people, I pray, with blindness. Now, don't you love this? This is the flip, right? That the people who are the mighty army now are blinded, and the servant who was blinded now can see in the spiritual realm that God's got an army. I said, God has got an army. You know, Elijah, when he was running from Jezebel and having his pity party, was not seeing right. Here's a man of God who wasn't seeing right. And the Lord had to tell him, I've got 7,000 who have not bowed their knee to Baal, because he thought he was the only one. It takes a revelation knowledge of God breathed by the Holy Spirit to break chains and set people free. You can be in bondage in your own mind like Elijah was. You can be in fearful like Elisha's servant was. And when the Holy Spirit illuminates things, wow, look out. And so now Elijah blinds the enemies. And then in verse 19 it says, and he said to them, this is not the way, nor is this the city. Follow me, and I'll bring you to the man whom you seek. And so he led them to Samaria. And it was that when he had come to Samaria, that Elisha said, Lord, open their eyes of these men, that they may see. And the Lord opened their eyes, and they saw, and they were inside Samaria. And when the king of Israel saw this, he said, should I kill them? And he said, would you kill them if you had taken them captive with a sword? You know, set food and water before them that they may eat and drink and go to their master. And he prepared a great feast after that, and they ate and drank, and he sent them away to their master. So the bands of the Syrian raiders came no more to the land of Israel. Now, you know, the Old Testament is full of battles. You read about David's battle and Saul's battle and Gideon's battle. But here's a battle that was won by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit won the battle. And they never came and gave Israel a hard time again. And not one drop of blood was shed, because the Holy Spirit has the answer to every one of life's problems. Amen. Doesn't matter how big the problem is. And so in this passage, God turned it around by the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, when you think about Elisha's servants looking up at those mountains, we have mountains in our life. We have mountains that we face every day. They could be fear, depression, despair. It could be financial trouble. It could be marital problems. It could be anger. It could be unforgiveness, resentment. And these things loom over us. But if the Holy Spirit can have his way in my life, no weapon formed against me can prosper. And it is not our effort that wins the battle. It is the Spirit of God that turns it around. Amen? It is not our effort, but the Spirit of God that turns it around. It is not our effort, are you hearing me this morning, but it is the Spirit of God that turns it around. Thank you for that amen. We're going to be here till 1 o'clock until somebody said amen. It is not our effort. It's nothing I can do. It is the Spirit of God that turns it around. Now, think about the disciples between the crucifixion and the resurrection. Talk about a mountain in their life. Jesus had died. They saw him die. They saw his limp, dead body put in a tomb and a big rock rolled in front of it. I would call that a mountain. After the resurrection, they were all happy. They weren't happy before that. They had the door locked thinking they're going to be next. Wouldn't it be something if we could just know what God knows? We wouldn't be fearful. If we just knew in 3 days everything's going to be all right, we would save ourselves so much anxiety and despair and fear. But it doesn't work that way, does it? But I tell you what does work. The same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead dwells in me. Amen? And if I can get my eyes off of the mountain and get the Holy Spirit operating in my life, I will see as God sees. I will hear as God hears. I can prophesy as God prophesies, and I will walk in the Spirit and not in the flesh. It's not our effort, but it's the Spirit of God that turns it around. Think about Israel before David came. And Goliath is coming out every day, challenging, issuing his challenge. And all these soldiers, one big man and an entire army, and they're all shaking in their boots. But then here comes some young squirt named David who actually worshiped God on his job. Spirit man. I said he's a spirit man. He's operating in the Spirit. He's got one of those 12-string guitars like Nola, shaped like a harp. And he's out there watching those sheep worshiping God, and the Holy Spirit is flowing through this young man's life. So when he faces the giant, he reacts different than the rest of the army, and it's not because of it's his effort, it's the Spirit of God that turns it around. You might say, well, way to go, David, pat him on the back, but it's not David. It's the Spirit of God in David. And when David threw that rock, it was not that David was super skilled, although I'm sure he was. Because when that rock left that sling, the Holy Spirit made it a rocket projectile into the skull of that giant. If not, David could say, look what I did. But David said, the Lord who delivered me from the bear and from the lion will deliver me from your hand. And I will take your head off your shoulder, you uncircumcised Philistine. In our text, when Elisha said, open his eyes, it was a spirit event. It was not some eye doctor that showed up, put some drops in his eyes. It was a spirit event. And we should, as Christians, look at events in our life as opportunities for the Holy Spirit to do something in a supernatural way. Praise God. Jesus told us to speak to our mountains, and we should quote the Word, but when we quote the Word, if we have sin in our lives, He's not just the Spirit, He's the Holy Spirit, amen? If we have sin in our lives, we can quote the Word all day long, but it is the Holy Spirit that is the power behind the words. A case, an example, is the seven sons of Sceva. They used Jesus' name, and look what happened to them. That devil jumped on them and tore them to shreds, and they went running away naked. So it is not the effort, it is the Spirit of God that turns it around. Amen? And we need to live a holy life so that we don't quench the Holy Spirit, so that the Holy Spirit can turn it around. In the book of Judges, we read that Samson said, "With the jawbone of an ass, heaps upon heaps, with the jaw of an ass, I have slain 1,000 men." Now, I like action movies. I like John Wayne movies. I like Arnold Schwarzenegger movies. I like Clint Eastwood movies. There we go, right? I was watching one the other day. Which one is that where Clint Eastwood tells the guy, "Get 3 coffins ready"? And then he ends up killing 4. He says, "Sorry, 4. Remember that? Okay, 3 or 4. Yeah, fistful of dollars. 3 or 4, 10 or 20, 50. But have you ever seen an action movie where one guy had all these bodies piled on top of each other and said, "I just killed 1,000 men with not a bazooka, not a machine gun, with a bone"? You know what? He was wrong. Samson was wrong. He said, "With the jawbone of an ass, I have slain 1,000 men." But when you go 2 verses up and you read verse 14, it says, "When he came to Lie, the Philistines shouted against him, and the Spirit of the Lord came upon him mightily." Samson, I beg to differ with you. You didn't slay 1,000 men. The Spirit of the Lord slayed 1,000 men. It's not our effort, but it's the Spirit of God that turns it around. Balaam was called by Balak to curse Israel, but instead he blessed them. Now, he went up there to curse them, but the Holy Spirit came on him. You know, you may have an enemy that you would just want to just really tell what you think about, but if you do, you're not walking in the Spirit of God, because the Spirit of God blesses and curses not. Amen. And when Balaam went up to curse the Israel at Balak's request, it says in Numbers 24:2, "Then Balaam lifted up his eyes, and he saw Israel abiding in tents according to their tribe, and the Spirit of God came upon him." Hallelujah. You know, we need more of the Spirit of God coming upon us, church. We need to be walking down the road, and we see someone, and the Spirit of God comes on them, and we go up and we have a word for them, and we say, "Can I pray for you?" Or we say, "Here, God told me to give you $20, and watch the tears flow, because when the Spirit of God does it, it's nothing in myself, and it will accomplish what God wants to do. No, we used to sing that song. I'm sure you have it in your repertoire. "When the Spirit of the Lord moves on my life, I will dance like David danced." Remember that? "I will sing like David sang." You know, when the Spirit of the Lord moves on our life, we don't act like we always act. We don't walk like we always walk. Our speech isn't the same. God makes all things new, and we need the Holy Spirit operating in our life. It's not our effort. It is the Spirit of God that turns it around. We talked about Samson, 1 against 1,000. The story of Gideon's even better. Gideon has an army, and God keeps telling him, "You got too many. Send them home. Send them home. Go ahead and send those guys home. Now send those guys home. And Gideon had to be thinking, "Lord, I hope you know what you're doing." Because he ended up with 300 men to face. Does anybody remember how many Midianites he faced? Anybody want to take a guess? 135,000. 135,000 men. Judges 6:34, "But the Spirit of the Lord came on Gideon, and he blew a trumpet, and Abiezer was gathered after him." When the Holy Spirit comes on us, we're going to blow a trumpet. The book of Jeremiah says, "Put the trumpet to your mouth." It means proclaim, declare, herald the word out. Jesus saves, and His blood washes whiter than snow. The Holy Spirit was given to the church to be a witness. Amen. And you might say, well, I'm timid in that area. You know what? It's not about you. It's not your effort. It's the Spirit of God that turns it around. You don't need to worry about what you're going to think or say. You need to be in the Spirit, and the Spirit will do the rest. Now, in closing, turn over to the book of Zechariah. You just thought we weren't going to be in Zechariah today. Zechariah chapter 4. I told you, the Lord told me Zechariah has all the answers. Hallelujah, I went too far. I got pages sticking together. Pardon my delay here. Zechariah chapter 4. There we go. Now the angel who talked with me, verse 1, came back and awakened me as a man who is wakened out of his sleep. You know, that's what happens when the Holy Spirit moves on us. It's like that epiphany that I can pray from 4:40 to 5:20 uninhibited. That's what the Holy Spirit does. It wakes us up out of sleep. We begin to see things we never saw before, think of things we never thought before. It's the power of the Holy Spirit operating in our life. And the angel who woke him was wakened as a man who is wakened out of sleep. And he said, what do you see? And I said, I am looking, and there is a lampstand of solid gold with a bowl on top of it. And on the stand, seven lamps with seven pipes to the seven lamps. And two olive trees are by it, one on the right side of the bowl and the other on the left side of the bowl. Now, in the days of the Old Testament or the temple worship, it was the responsibility of the priest to go to the menorah, the golden lampstand, and every one of the top of those were little teeny itsy-bitsy bowls that oil went in, and then the flames would burn the oil. And it was their responsibility to never let the flames go out. And, you know, the whole story behind the Hanukkah is that when Antipas Epiphany, you know, tried to destroy the Jews and erected the swine and all this after the Maccabee revolt, and they went back, that the lamps had went out because nobody was good, and they put oil in it, but they didn't have enough oil until, because of the siege, until supplies got in. But the oil miraculously lasted, and so we celebrate Hanukkah, or they do, right? Because, you know, God said, don't ever let the light go out. It's a type of the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God, the seven spirits of the eyes of the Lord, and you'd never let that go out. So the priest has this laborious task of making sure, it is his job to make sure that the oil is always in there. Now, what the vision he has, I'm going to say it again, it's not our effort, but it is the Spirit of God that turns it around. And so he has a vision of two olive trees with pipes going out of it, continually feeding oil to the lampstand, so that the priests no longer have to put forth any effort to keep the lampstand's oil full, because it's coming straight from an olive tree. I like this, don't you? My mountain ceases to be a mountain when I am connected to the Holy Spirit, because then the effort stops and God takes over. Hallelujah. My problem is not my mountain. My problem is I need the Holy Spirit
operating in my life.
So I answered and I spoke to the angel who talked with me, saying, "What are these, my Lord?" And the angel who talked with me answered and said, "Do you not know what these are?" And I said, "No." And he answered and he said, "This is the word of the Lord." So this beautiful symbol of an effortless life, powered by the Holy Spirit, connected to the Spirit of God, just as olive trees are connected to the golden lampstand, is a word from the Lord. And the word is not by might, nor by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord. It is not our effort, but it is the Spirit of God that turns it around. Now, let's take it one step further in our text. So, they have a mountain. The context is the Babylonian captivity is over. They're back in Jerusalem. They're going to have to rebuild the temple. Only there is a mountain of rubble from the old temple. A mountain of, you know how big the temple was, Solomon's temple. It's not a little a pile of rocks. It's I don't know how high it is. It's a mountain of rubble. I mean, it may be 50 feet, 100 feet of broken rocks on top of each other. It's a mountain of rubble. You can't even begin construction of another temple. And you say, how long is it going to take me to get all these rocks? Do you know how much effort it's going to be to get this mountain of rubble out of the way? Not by might, not by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord. Who are you, O great mountain before Zerubbabel? You shall become a plain, and he shall bring forth the capstone with the shouts, grace, grace to it. I love it because we might say, well, you don't know the things I struggle with in my life. I probably quench the Holy Spirit every day. How can I stay connected to the Holy Spirit? Grace. 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 Grace to it. And then when we take God's grace and God's Holy Spirit and apply it to our mountain, it's no longer our effort, but it is the Spirit of God that turns our mountains into a plain. And that's good news. Come on up, Nola. Hallelujah. 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 I said hallelujah. I said glory to God. I said thank you, Jesus. Oh, who are you, great mountain? I don't know what your mountain is. Maybe this week your mountain's been financial. Maybe this week your mountain's been, I've been having fights. Maybe this week your mountain is I've been depressed, or I don't feel like reading my Bible, or I'm fearful, or I'm beside myself because of this thing. Who are you, great mountain? You shall become a plain. Well, if I just read my Bible enough, no. Well, if I just give a little more, no. Well, if I just, no. It is not our effort. It is the Spirit of God. You just connect to the pipe and let God do it. Amen? Just connect to the pipe and let the oil flow. Cease from your effort and watch God move in your life. Amen. Let's all stand, shall we? Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. I said hallelujah. I said glory to God. Thank you, Jesus, for the power of the Holy Spirit operating in our lives. It is not by might, it is not by power, but it is by God's Spirit. God is getting ready to do some things in your life and in Faith Fellowship Church because the Spirit of God is going to do it. Amen. It's not going to be my effort. It's not going to be yours. It's going to be by the power of the Spirit of God. Let's pray. Father, we come to you this morning in Jesus' name. And I bless each person here this morning, Lord. I'm not going to ask for hands. We all have mountains in our lives. I'm just blessing the people with the power of the Holy Spirit in their lives. Each person here, Lord, I pray for. I pray for them. I pray for Steve and Lloyd. I pray for Judy. I pray for Rick. I pray for Karen and Nola. I pray for myself. I pray the power of the Holy Spirit will begin to move in a way that they have never ever experienced before. I pray, Lord, that You would even now begin to help them to just look past the mountain of rubble and to begin to connect their arms, their mind, their body to the pipe of the oil of the Holy Spirit flowing from that tree in their lives. That no longer do I have to put forth effort to please God. No longer do I have to put forth effort to try to be holy. No longer do I have to put forth effort to keep that lampstand full. It's connected by the power of the Holy Spirit. And it is not by my might. It is by God's Spirit. And because Jesus died, He sent the Holy Spirit to come alongside, to be the Paracletos, the one called alongside, to abide with us, to bring to remembrance things that we can have words of knowledge. We don't have to say, I wish I could be like Elisha. We can be Elisha. These are the days of Elijah. These are the days of Elisha. And we can be like Elijah and we can be like Elisha because the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead dwells in us, and He will quicken our mortal body. He will quicken us with a word. He will quicken us with a thought. He will quicken us with a revelation. And we can be the men and women God called us to be. And we can do exploits, and axe heads will swim, and the people will know that God is in control, and it will not bring glory to us. It will bring glory to Him and Him alone, because it is His Spirit that's doing it, and no effort on our part. And so we praise You this morning, Jesus, for the power of the Holy Spirit operating in our lives and moving and moving and moving and continuing to move. And it won't just be, well, we had a good church service Sunday morning. It's still happening on Sunday afternoon. It's still happening on Tuesday night. It's still happening on Thursday morning. Hallelujah. Look what God is doing in my life. It is not a sermon. It is not a religion. It is the Holy Spirit. He is moving in my life. Amen. Glory to God. And so we receive it by faith this morning. We receive it by the grace of God. None of us deserve it, but grace is giving it to each of us today. And God is going to use us in this last day harvest. And the church said, amen. Amen. So be it. So be it. In Jesus' name, amen. Whatever you want to play,
let's
Nola.
Let's sing that song. Not by might,
not by power. But by my Spirit, says the Lord of hosts. It's not by might, not by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord. This mountain shall be removed. This mountain shall be removed. This mountain shall be removed. By my Spirit, says the Lord. Not by might, not by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord of hosts. Not by might, not by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord.
Come on, church.
This mountain shall be removed. This mountain shall be removed. This mountain shall be removed. By my Spirit, says the Lord.
Amen. Let's give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Well, give someone a big hug and tell them Jesus is getting ready to do some things.